B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Mem Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah at the top of the Omid. Says the Mishnah, Arba Asar Shechol Liyos B'Shabbos. We know that on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, we have a mitzvah and a chiyuv to destroy, to burn any leftover chometz. What happens if Erev Shabbos, if Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, and you can't burn the chometz on Shabbos? What do you do? Mevarin es hakol milifnei haShabbos. Anything that you're not planning to eat on Shabbos, this includes not only truma but even chulin, whatever you're not planning to eat on Shabbos, you should destroy before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, on the 13th of Nisan. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. V'chachomim oimrim bizmanui. The Chachomim say no. They say you leave over what you leave over, and you can get rid of the whatever's left over. You can even get rid of it on Shabbos. You cannot burn it on Shabbos, but there's other ways of disposing of chometz. You can crumble it up and cast it into the throw it into the air and zoyre beruach, or you can throw it into the sea. There's other things you can do. Reb Eliezer ber Tzadik Omer, truma milifnei Shabbos. Since truma cannot be eaten by anybody, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. You cannot give it to the animals of a Yisrael to eat. And therefore, it's more challenging. That means there's a greater chance that there's going to be more leftovers. And it's more challenging to get rid of those leftovers because being that it's truma, you're limited with how you can destroy it. And therefore, truma, you should destroy any chometz truma left over, you should destroy before Shabbos. The chulin, however, if you've got chulin, where there's plenty of people that can eat it and you can distribute it, and there's many ways of getting rid of it, and therefore bizmanon, you can keep it till over Shabbos, and make sure on Shabbos, before the Sov Zman, before the 6th hour, that you get rid of the chometz, whatever's left over. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ber Tzadik Omer, Pam achas shovas abo biyavno. Rabbi Eliezer ber Tzadik says that his father Tzadik was once spending Shabbos in a place called Yavne. The Chol Arba Asar Liyos B'Shabbos, and the 14th of Nisan was Shabbos. Ubo Zunin Mamuna Shel Rabbi Gamliel, and Zunin, who was appointed by Rabbi Gamliel to tell this Tzadik, V'Omar Higia Eis Levirus HaChometz. Now is the time to destroy the chometz. So you see from here clearly that when Shabbos is on Erev Pesach, the time to destroy the chometz is not on Erev Shabbos, the time is on Shabbos. V'olachti achar abo, and Rabbi Eliezer ber Tzadik says, I followed my father Tzadik, who be aronus haChometz, and we got rid of the chometz in the way that we could on Shabbos. Says the next Mishnah, Hahoylech lishchoy tespischoy, if somebody is going on the 14th of Nisan to go and shecht his korban Pesach, or velomulas benoy is going to do a bris mila on his son, velechils sudas erusin v'beis chomov, or he's just got engaged and he's going to eat the suda, the feast of the what we would call an engagement. Really, erusin is a kiddushin, but this sudas erusin, this feast which was a mitzvah in the home of his father-in-law, the nizkar, in any of these cases where he's on the way to doing a mitzvah and you remember that he's got chometz in his home, and what should he do? He hasn't gotten rid of it yet, and if he's going to continue on his journey, what's going to happen with the chometz? Im yochil lachzer ulevair, if he has enough time during the day of the 14th to go back home and to destroy the chometz, v'lachzer lemitzvosoi, and still to be able to continue and return to do the mitzvah he has to do, then yachzer, he should go back, v'yavair, he should destroy the chometz. V'im lav, if there's not enough time, mevatloi beliboi, it will have to suffice to just nullify it in his heart, min ha-toira, that's sufficient, and he has no choice, that's what he has to do. Continues the Mishnah, Lehatzil min hanochrim, if he's going to save some people from the goyim who are threatening them, umin hanor, or from a river that's endangering people, umin alistim, or from thieves, umin adleika, from a fire, umin amapoilus, or from a collapsed building, yivatil beliboy, he should not go back, he should immediately continue on his journey and suffice with being mevatil the chometz, nullifying the chometz in his heart. Says the Mishnah, V'lishbo is shvisas harushos. If he's on the way to make an eruv tchumin, which is placing some bread 2,000 amas outside the tchum of the town, in order that the next day he'll be able to go an extra 2,000 amas out, and the reason that he's going out the reason he wants to make this Eruv, to be able to go the extra 2,000 Amos on Shabbos, is because of, is a Dvarashus, is not something which is a mitzvah, it's something which is he's choosing to do. Then Yachzer Miyad, since he's not on the way to doing a mitzvah, he should go right back and destroy the chometz, get rid of the chometz. And Tosfos discusses here how are you allowed to go and make an Eruv. You don't make an Eruv Tchumin unless it's for a Dvar Mitzvah. And Tosfos discusses that. V'chein mi sheyotzom Yerushalayim. If somebody's left Yerushalayim, till now we were discussing that a person had to destroy the chometz in his home, and he's already left on a journey going to either to save people's lives or to do a mitzvah or Dvar Rishus. And the Mishnah discussed that. What happens if somebody left Yerushalayim and here v'nizkar, mishiyotzim Yerushalayim, v'nizkar sheyesh biyodoy basar kodesh. You remember that he's got hekdesh, meat in his hands, and certain, the kochim kalim, you're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim, you are not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. And if you took a kazayis of this meat outside Yerushalayim, then it had a psul yotza, you were not allowed to eat it. Im ovar tzofim, if he already went past the place of tzofim, which is a place from where you could still see the Beis HaMikdosh, Then the Chachomim did not require you to go all the way back to the Beis HaMikdosh to burn this korban that has now become psul, has become possible because he's taken it out of Yerushalayim. He can burn it where he is. Ve'imlav, but if he hasn't yet passed the place of tzofim, choizer v'soyrfo, you should go back and burn it lifnei abiro, me'atzei amarochi, goes back to the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, burns it there using the woods that were on the Mizbeach, called the Marocha, and he has to go back and burn it in by the Beis HaMikdosh. Asks the Mishnah, Va'ad kamo, how much chometz do you have to have in your home? Or korban do you have to have in your hand? Ad kamo hein chizrim, that you should have to go back, either go back to the Beis HaMikdosh to burn the hekdesh, or to go back to your home to burn the chometz. Reb Meir Omer zeh v'zeh b'kabeitza. Reb Meir says, chometz, you only have to go back to burn the chometz if you have at least a kibbutz, and the same with hekdesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zev zev b'kazayis. Rabbi Yehuda says that both of those halachas are not dependent on a kibbutz, rather on a kazayis. V'chachomim oimrim, basar kodesh, if it's the hekdesh animal that became possible because you took it out of Yerushalayim and you have to take it back to the Beis HaMikdash you haven't yet passed Tzofim, then b'kazayis. If you have a kazayis, you have to go back. The chometz, however, to require you to go back home and burn the chometz, b'kabeitza, you only have to do that if you have a kabeitza of chometz in your home. If you have less than that, then you just do bittel, it suffices to nullify it in his heart. Says the Gemara, Uraminu, there seems to be a contradiction. Hahoy leich lechil sudas erusin b'veis chomov. The Brisa says that if somebody is going to eat the meal, the feast of his kiddushin, let's call it his engagement, in the home of his father-in-law, velishbo is shvitas harushus, or if he's going to put his food that's going to present him at the end of his tchum in order to serve as an eruv tchumin, for the purpose of doing something which is not a mitzvah, it's a dvarushus, yachzer miyad. In both those cases, you have to go right back. It's not considered a Dvar Mitzvah. In our Mishnah, we see that going to a Sudas Erusin is considered a Mitzvah. So we have a contradiction. In the Braisa, Sudas Erusin is not considered a Mitzvah. In the Mishnah, it is considered a Mitzvah. So we're going to have two possible explanations. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Loi Kashya. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not a contradiction, or it is a contradiction, but it's not a problem. We know there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi whether Sudas Erusin is a mitzvah or not. So the Mishnah says it's a mitzvah is following Rabbi Yosi, and the Braisa that says it's varashus is following Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Sudas Erusin Rashus. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Sudas Erusin is not a mitzvah. Rabbi Yosi argues and says mitzvah. So the Mishnah that says Sudas Erusin is a mitzvah is Rabbi Yosi. The Braisa will be Rabbi Yehuda. V'hashta the Omar of Chizda. Rav Chizda now introduced us to something interesting, and we're actually soon going to see that it's explicit in a Braisa. But Rav Chizda said that machleikas besudas shnia, when a person would get engaged and do the kiddushin and erusin, typically there would be two feasts. One would be called the first feast, which is a feast for the Erusin. The second one would be called the Sudas Sivloinois, which is a feast when the Chosn would go to his Kala's home with some gifts. They would dine there, and that would be called a second Suda. So Rav Chisda said, that second Suda is a machleikus. Rabbi Yossi says it's also a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a mitzvah. Aval b'suda rishayna, but the first Suda that you have called the Sudas Erusin, divir hakil mitzvah, everyone says it's a mitzvah. If so, afilu teima ha v'har Rav Yehuda. It could be, it means the brisa that says that Sudas Erusin is not a mitzvah, that must be Rabbi Yehuda, because the only person, the only opinion that any of the Sudais are ever Dvarashus are only Rabbi Yehuda, the second Suda. The question is, the Mishnah that says that Sudas Erusin is a mitzvah, does that have to be Rabbi Yossi referring to the second Suda? Or it could be Rabbi Yehuda referring to the first Suda. So first the Gemara said it's Rabbi Yossi, and now the Gemara says that since Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the first Suda is a Dvar Mitzvah, so the Mishnah could be even according to Rabbi Yehuda referring to the first Sudas Erusin. Afilu teimaha v'ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah could also be Rabbi Yehuda, v'loi kashi, it's not a contradiction, ha b'suda rishayno, the first Suda, which even according to Rabbi Yehuda is a mitzvah, that's what the Mishnah was talking about, ha b'suda shnia, the second meal according to Rabbi Yehuda was not a Dvar Mitzvah, and that's what the Braisa was talking about. Continues the Gemara, and here we actually see an explicit Braisa telling us what Rav Chisda said, to the point that Tosfos says it's a wonder why the Gemara didn't say that we have explicit proof from a Braisa to Rav Chisda. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ani lo shamati, I, Rabbi Yehuda, didn't hear that a Sudas Erusin is a mitzvah, elo Sudas Erusin. Only that first meal, avalois avloinus. But that second meal, the Feast of the Gifts, which is the second Suda of the Erusin, I didn't hear it was a Dvar Mitzvah. As Rav Chisda said before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second meal is not a Dvar Mitzvah. Omale Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Ani shamati, and I heard that Sudas Erusin v'sivloinus, not only is the first meal a mitzvah, the second meal is also a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, since we started speaking about Sudas Mitzvah in the Mishnah mentions Sudas Erusin b'veis chomov. Now, the Gemara is going to continue on a similar theme. Tanya Reb Shimon Oimer, kol suda she'eino mitzvah, any suda which is not a Sudas Mitzvah, ein Talmud Chochem rishoyi lehonos mimeno, it's not appropriate for a Talmud Chochem to benefit from it. Kegoin mai, what is a type of Suda that's not considered a Dvar Mitzvah? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, kegoin bas kohen leYisrael. If the daughter of a kohen, a kohenes, marries somebody who's not a kohen, then there's something not right with that shidduch, with that marriage. And therefore, it's not called a Dvar Mitzvah, and the Talmud Chacham should not share in that meal. Ubas Talmud Chacham la'am ha'aretz. Or if the daughter of a Talmud Chacham marries an Am Ha'aretz, a simple person, somebody who's not learning, somebody who's not connected and cannot learn, that is also not something appropriate, it's not called a Dvar Mitzvah. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan said, Bas Kohen Le Yisrael, if the daughter of a Kohen marries a Yisrael, Ein Zivug on their marriage is not Oile Yofa. It doesn't turn out right, it doesn't turn out good. Mahi, what does happen, what could happen in such a marriage? Omer Rav Chisda says, Oy Almona, either she, this Bas Kohen, will end up becoming a widow, Oy Grusha, or divorced, Oy Zera Einla, or she won't have children. B'masniteton, in a Braisa we learned, Koivra, either he's going to bury her, she's going to die early, Oy Koivra Soy, or she's going to bury him, because he's going to die early, Oy Mavyasu L'de'anius, or the marriage is going to bring him to poverty. Asks the Gemara, Eini, how can you say that a Bas Yisrael should not marry somebody who's not a Kohen? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan not say, Haroitza she's Asher, anybody who wants to become rich, even a Yisrael, Yidbag Bazari Shel Aaron, he should join the descendants of Aaron HaKohen, which are Kohanim, and Kol Shekein Shetoyra Okuhuno Ma'asroson, and even more so, If there's Torah there, which means the husband himself is a Talmud Chacham, then not only is he a Talmud Chacham, which is in its own right a reason to have riches, but also she is a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, she's a Kehenes, that the two together, of course, will cause them to become rich. So how can you say that a Bas Kohen should not marry a Yisrael? Here we see clearly that a Bas Kohen can marry a Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Loi Kashi, it's not a question. Ha b'Talmud Chacham, ha b'Am Ha'aretz. If it's a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not a Kohen, then it's very fitting for him to marry a Bas Kohen. However, if he's an Am Ha'aretz, and he's not a Kohen, then definitely a Bas Kohen should not marry him. Says the Gemara, the Gemara is going to speak about a few different Chachomim who married in or didn't marry into the Kohuna and how they responded about that. Rabbi Yeshua Nosiv Kahana, so Rabbi Yeshua married a Bas Kohen. Cholash, he became weak, he became sick. Omar, and he said, Lo nichalei le'aroin, it seems that Aaron HaKohen wasn't half so happy, the idbak bazari, that I joined his descendants, the havalei chasna ki ano. He didn't want to have a son-in-law like me, and that's why I've become sick. Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Nosaf Kehanasa. Rav Idi Bar Ovin also married a Bas Kohen. Nofku minei trei b'nei samcha. And he had two sons that both had smicha. They both became Talmidei Chachomim. Who are they? Rav Sheshes b'reid Rav Idi and Rav Yeshua b'reid Rav Idi. So he obviously saw it as a virtue that he was deserving of children like that because he married a Bas Kohen. Omer Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Iloino Sivno Kahanasa, had I not married a Bas Kohen, Loi Itri, I would not have become rich. Omar Rav Kahana said, Iloino Sivno Kahanasa, had I not married a Bas Kohen, Loi Galoi, then I would not have been exiled from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael. He saw his exile from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael as a type of a punishment, and he attributed to the fact that he married a Bas Kohen. Omru Lei, so the Talmidim or the Chachomim said to Rav Kahana, V'hola Mokim Torah Galisa, you exiled from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a Mokim Torah. That's not a punishment. Why are you looking for what to blame, as if it was a problem, as if it was something that shouldn't have been that way? He says, Loi. No. Loi Galoi Kedegoli Inchi. It's true that I went to Mokim Torah. But normally when people exile themselves to Mokim Torah, they're doing so out of free will. I didn't leave out of choice. I was forced to go because of the government. Machmas Maradin ve'imas Malchus. I was forced into exile. I was forced out of Bovel and had to run to Eretz Yisrael. That's not something which is a virtuous thing, and there must have been a reason for it. And he attributed it to the fact that he married a Bas Kohen. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok. Kol hanene misudas harushus. Anybody that benefits from a feast which is not a Dvar Mitzvah, l'soif geila. At the end, it could cause him to be exiled. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Hashoichvim al mitoyis shein usruchim al arsoisam va'oichlim korim mitzoin. He's eating the fattened sheep. Va'agolim and also these young animals mitoich marbeik from the stalls. And what does it say after that pasuk? And this pasuk is referring to just an indulgence in meals that are not mitzvah. And the next pasuk it says, Lochein ato yiglu b'reish goylim, they'll be exiled at the head of the exiles. V'sor mirzach sruchim. And you see from the pasuk that somebody who's indulging in oichlim korim mitzoin v'agolim mitoich marbeik, then at the end he may get exiled. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Kol Talmud Chacham Hamarbes Udosi B'Kol Mokim. A Talmud Chacham that gets accustomed to having many feasts. Soy for the end, Machrives Beisoy. He's going to become accustomed, so to speak, addicted to the amount that he's eating. He's going to end up selling the furniture and other items in his home in order to have money that which he hasn't got to afford all the food he needs to eat, and he's going to end up destroying his home. Ma'almin is Ishtoy. Even though he's going to stay alive, but he's going to have to go away from home and collect money, and his wife is going to be like a widow. Umiyasim as Goizlov, and his children, even though he's still alive, are going to be orphans with his parents alive, because his father is going to be traveling around trying to make money to pay for the food that he needs to buy. V'talmudei mishtakach mimenu, he's going to forget his learning because he's not going to have time or desire to revise what and review what he's learned. Umachleikis rabbis boys alov, and anybody who forgets their learning, then they are prone to get involved with machleikis, and this particularly if he's buying a lot of food and he's going to have to buy on credit, and the store owners are going to be chasing him and he can't afford to pay them. Udvarov einom nishmoim, and since he's not any more esteemed in the way he was when he still was a regular Talmud Chacham, his words will not be heard. Umechalel shem shemaim, v'shem rabbi, v'shem oviv, and he causes Hashem's name and the name of his Rebbe and the name of his father to be nischalel, to be tainted. V'goyrem shem ra, and he causes a bad name loy for himself, ulebonov, and to his children, ulebnei bonov, and to his grandchildren, adsoif kol adoiros. It would always be remembered that a prestigious Talmud Chacham fell to such a state. Mayhi, what is this bad name? What name are his children going to get from the fact that he was just overindulging in food? So Omar Abaya says, Korule, they're going to call the children of this Talmud Chacham Bar, the son of Mechim Tanuri. He's the son of the person who was constantly warming up ovens. Rava Omar, Rava says they were going to call his son Bar Markid Beikuvi. He's the son of the person that is dancing at the taverns, which was something they would do to make the people there buy the wine and the beers and get drunk. Rav Papa said they would call the children Bar Melachich Pinchi, that they are the son of those who are licking their plates. Rav Shemaya Omar, Bar Moch Reva, they're going to say you're the son of this drunkard who couldn't even get home sober. He would just moch, he would fold up his clothes, Rova, and just put them down and go to sleep on his clothes and wouldn't even have the strength to get back home, back to bed. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. La'olam yimkir adam kol ma sheyesh lo, a person should sell everything he owns, v'yisah bas Talmud Chacham, to be able to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. What's this particular virtue of marrying the daughter of a Talmud Chacham? She'emes, if this person dies, or goyla, or for whatever good or bad reason, he has to be exiled from his home, muftach lo, you can be sure, she'bon of Talmidei Chachomim, his wife, being the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, will bring up the children to become Talmidei Chachomim. Ve'al yisa bas amoretz, and do not marry the daughter of an amoretz, she'emes, because if this man dies, or goyla, or he has to leave the home, bon of amoretz, then his wife, who's been brought up in the home of an Amoretz, will educate the children and they will also become Ami Haoretz. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbonon, La'olam yimker adam kol ma sheyesh lo, a person should sell everything he owns, v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham, to be able to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. V'yasi bitrei the Talmud Chacham, he should also marry off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. And somebody who marries a bas Talmud Chacham is moshel, is compared le'in ve'agefen be'in ve'agefen, like a grapevine that is crafted or merged with another grapevine. Dova noy, it's a nice thing, umiskabil, and it's acceptable. V'lo yiso bas amoretz, a person should not marry the daughter of an amoretz, moshel le'in ve'agefen be'in ve'asne. Somebody who marries the daughter of an Amoretz is compared to a grapevine that's put together with the vine of a thorn bush that is dover chor. It's very ugly, ve'ene miskabil, and not acceptable. You know, people who hear about it, they can't get their head around it. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, La'olam yimkir adam, a person should sell kol ma sheyesh lo, everything he owns, v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham, to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Loi motzo bas Talmud Chacham, if he cannot find the daughter of a Talmud Chacham appropriate to marry, yiso bas gedoyle hadoyr, then he should marry the people who are the daughters of people who are considered gedoyle hadoyr. And Rashi says it means anshe maisa, people whose deeds are proper, v'tzadikim, and righteous people. Loi motzo bas gedoyle hadoyr, if he couldn't find the daughter of such a person to marry, yiso bas roshi knesiyos, he should marry the heads of the communities, the daughters of the heads of the communities. Loi motza bas rosh eknesiyos, if you couldn't find an appropriate shidduch from the daughters of the heads of the communities, yisa bas gabei tzedaka, you should marry the daughters of those who are appointed on the tzedakis, on the charities. And we assume that these people who have these positions are people that have good middos and are reliable and trustworthy, and therefore their daughters are good shidduchim. Loi motza bas gabei tzedaka, if you cannot find a daughter of a gabei tzedaka, yisa bas melamdei tinoikos, then you should marry the daughter of the teachers of the children. V'lo yisa bas ami haoretz, but do not marry the daughters of an amoretz, mipnei shehein shakeitz. We know there's a concept called shkotzim or remosim, which are vermin and insects, which are very abominable and tommy things. So the daughters of Ami Oretz are called the Sheketz, v'neshoseim, And the wives of the Ame Oretz, they are called Asheretz. Val Benoisem, and the daughters of the Ame Haaretz, or Omer, it said in the Pasuk, or cursed should be Sheichev im Kol Behema, somebody who lies with any animal, and an Ame Haaretz is compared to an animal, and Rashi explains, She'ein lehem lev lehaven, since they do not have the heart to be able to understand Torah, or the desire to understand Torah, they are compared to animals. So one should avoid the Ame Haaretz at all expense. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Am Haaretz Oseh Lechel Bosor Behema, an Am Haaretz is not allowed to eat the meat, the flesh of an animal. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Zois Toiras HaBehema, this is the Torah, the laws of the Behema Va'oif. And why does the Torah say Zois Toiras? Kala Oisik BaTorah, only somebody who's engaged in Torah learning, Mutar Lechel Bosor Behema Va'oif, is allowed to eat the flesh of the Behema, the animals and the birds. Anybody who is not engaged in Torah learning, namely an Am Haaretz, Oseh Lechel Basar Behema Va'oif, is not allowed to eat the meat of animals or birds. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Am Haaretz Mutar L'Noichrei B'Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yeis B'Shabbos, an Am Haaretz, one is even allowed to stab him on Yom Kippur, even if it's on Shabbos. And Omer Lo Talmidav, and the Talmidim asked Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe, Emoir L'Shechtei, why do you say stab? Why don't you say teshech, to slaughter? Omer Lehen, he says, no. Zeh Ta'on Brocha, the concept of slaughtering is one that has a brocha sometimes. Zeh Einei Ta'on Brocha, but stabbing is never done with a brocha. And to that level, the Am Haaretz has stooped that one's even allowed to stab him on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. And obviously this is not Halacha L'maisa, and the Mefarshim explain what message the Gemara is trying to give us by saying this like this, but of course, this is not something that anybody is allowed to do. It's not brought in halacha, obviously, and this has to be understood on a deeper level. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Am Haaretz Oseh Lislavis Imoy Baderech. One's not allowed to accompany one's not allowed to be accompanied by an Am Haaretz when going on a journey. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, referring to Torah, Ki hi chayecho, Torah is your life, Va'erech yomecha, and your longevity, the length of your years. Al chayov loichos, if this Am Haaretz, he doesn't even care about his own life because he's detached from Torah. If he doesn't care or have pity on himself and learn some Torah, al chayei chaveiro lekolshken, of course he's not going to care about the life of anyone else. And Rashi says there's even a danger that he could become dangerous and kill this person. And therefore, don't go on a journey with somebody who couldn't care about life and doesn't engage in Torah study. Continues the Gemara, Omer b'Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Omer b'Yechanan. Am Haaretz mutar lekor oy kedag, one's allowed to tear open an Am Haaretz like a fish. Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok says, Umigaboy, and from his back, and that's doing it in a way that he certainly cannot survive. And again, of course, this is not something we're allowed to do. It's just a message the Gemara is giving us that somebody should stay far away from being an Am Haaretz or connecting to an Am Haaretz, because somebody who's an Am Haaretz, his life is not a life. He's as good as dead. He's as good as a torn open fish. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, Omer Reb Akiva. The holy Rabbi Akiva said, and we know that Rabbi Akiva, only at age 40, started his journey to become the Rabbi Akiva we know. Before then, he was far from there. And he said, Kishayisi Am Haaretz, when I was still in Am Haaretz, Omarati, I would say, Miyiteni Talmud Chochem, anyone can give me a Talmud Chochem, Va'anashchenu kechamoyer, I'll bite him like a donkey bites. Which means there's a hatred that Am Haaretz have to Talmidei Chachomim. Omer Lo Talmid of the Talmidim said to Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe, Emoir kekelev, why do you say I'll bite him like a donkey? Why don't you say I'll bite him like a dog? Omalen, he says, I'll tell you why. Zeh noishach v'shever etzem, v'zeh noishach v'ein shever etzem. A dog, when it bites, it doesn't break a bone. However, the donkey, when it breaks the bones. And an Am Haaretz is so anti-Talmud Chacham, he wants to bite him and break his bones. Continues the Gemara, Tanya. Hoya Reb Meir Oimer. Kol ameisi bitoy le'Am Haaretz, anyone who marries off his daughter to an Am Haaretz, ki'ilu koivso, it's as if he's tying her up, umanicho lefnei ari, and is putting her in front of a lion. Ma'ari, in the same way as a lion, doiros, he attacks whatever his prey, va'oichel, and eats it, va'ein le'boishas upon him, he has no shame, he doesn't even wait a little bit, he doesn't even wait till the animal that he's attacked, has died. Af amaoret, soton amaoret, maka, he hit, uboil, ve'ine boishes ponim. He just uses his wife for his own appetite and has no shame whatsoever. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Oimir, il mole onu tzrichim lohem, if not for the fact that the Amaorets need us Talmidei Chachomim, lemaso maton for business, hoyu hergin esonu, they would have killed us a long time ago. Continues the Gemara, Tona Rabchia, kolo isik ba teira lifnei Amaorets, anybody who teaches Torah and engages in Torah in front of an Amaorets, ki'ilu boi larusose befonov. So here this is a different tone already. He says that an Am Ha'aretz, he's also got some part in Torah. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Torah tziva lonu Moshe, Moirasha, Torah is a heritage for all of us. Al tikru Moirasha, don't call it a Moirasha, ela Moirasha, that it's, so to speak, it's a heritage which is similar to an engagement, to being betrothed, and Torah is engaged, is a Mo'irasa to everybody, even the Amei Ha'aretz. And if you're going to learn and engage in Torah in front of an Amei Ha'aretz, you're putting him to shame. Ki'ilu boi larusase befonov, you're taking something which is intrinsically also belongs to the Amei Ha'aretz, and you're taking it away from him. It's like somebody who takes away the wife, the betrothed wife, from the person that she's engaged to, and takes her away in front of him. It's putting him to shame. And Torah, when we're learning Torah in front of an Amoret, that's what we're doing to them. Continues the Gemara. G'doylo sino she'soinim Amei Ha'aretz l'talmid chochem. The hatred that Amei Ha'aretz have against Talmidei Chachomim is yoisim misino she'soinim oivdei kechovim es Yisrael. It's even worse than the hatred that the Goyim have to the Eden. U'nusheseim, and the wives of the Amei Ha'aretz, yoisim mehem, they hate the Talmidei Chachomim even more than their husbands, the Amei Ha'aretz. Continues the Gemara. Tana, Shona Upirish, somebody who used to learn Torah, Upirish, and now he stopped learning Torah and he's removed himself from Torah, and so to speak, he's joined the ranks of the Amei Ha'aretz, but he used to be a Talmud Chacham, and he knows exactly what it says in the Torah about how we feel about Amei Ha'aretz. Yoisa Mikulon, he hates the Talmidei Chachomim even more than the Amei Ha'aretz, who don't even have any idea as to the extent that the Talmidei Chachomim can't stand the Amei Ha'aretz. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Shisha Dvorim Nemru Ba'Amei Ha'aretz. Six things are said regarding an Amei Ha'aretz. Number one, Ein Moistrim Lehem Eidus. Sometimes there are certain transactions and things that are being declared that have to be done in front of Eidim so that the witnesses can then testify in a Beis Din. We don't do that in front of Amei Ha'aretz. Ve'ein mekablin mimenu edus, because they don't really understand what to focus on and how to give over the edus. The Beis Din don't accept witness from an Amoretz. Ve'ein megalin mehem soid, we do not reveal to them any secrets because they're suspected of being hoylech rochel megali soid, of being gossipers. Ve'ein memanin oisom apotropos ala yisimim, since they are suspected of stealing, we don't appoint them to be an administrator over the property that young orphans have inherited. Ve'ein memanin oisun apotropos al kupa shel tzedakah, we do not appoint them as being an administrator for any charities. Ve'ein mislavin imoim baderech, as we said before, we do not accompany them on the journeys. V'yesh oimrim, others say, af ein machrizin al avodosoi, if you had a whole group of Amei Ha'aretz and something fell from them, it's now lost property, but you know it definitely came from an Amei Ha'aretz. Some say you don't need to announce their Aveda, because the Torah says you only have to do Ashavas Aveda for somebody who's considered your brother, and since they are not behaving like a brother, they're not behaving the way they should, therefore they are not considered as Ochicha, and some say one does not need to return the Aveda. The Tanakama who say the six things and don't say that you shouldn't announce their Aveda, Zimlin Denofik Menezarim Alia, there's always that chance that this Amei Ha'aretz is going to have a descendant who's going to be a good person. And the Aveda that the father's lost, you're now giving it back to the father, and the descendant is going to benefit from it, is going to eat from it, and it was worthwhile returning it in order that the descendant, who's a tzaddik, should be able to benefit from it. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Yochin Tzadik Yilbosh, V'chesef Noki Yachloik, that means that a Rosha prepares, Yochin, the Rosha prepares, V'tzadik Yilbosh, and his descendant at Tzadik is going to benefit from it, is going to wear it, And so too here, the Tanakhama say, give back the Aveda to Namoret, it may get to the good places with his children. Continues the Gemara. V'chein mi sheyotzo v'chulu. So now we're going to the next part of the Mishnah. V'chein mi sheyotzo b'Yerushalayim, etc. And then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the last statement in the Mishnah, v'ad kamohen choizrin, how big does the chometz have to be, or the korban animal have to be, that you should have to either go back to burn it, or go back, that means to go back to get rid of it, in the case of chometz, or to burn it in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Gemara says, lememra. So from our Mishnah you see, the Reb Meir sovar kabeitza hu dechoshiv. Reb Meir holds that only a kabeitza is considered significant. Reb Yehuda sovar kazayis nami choshiv. Reb Yehuda says that even a kazayis is considered significant. Those were the opinions at the end of the Mishnah. Reb Meir oimer zeh v'zeh b'kabeitza. Reb Yehuda oimer zeh v'zeh b'kazayis. Asks the Gemara Raminu, this seems to be contradicting a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. At kamohin mezamnin, we know that there's a mitzvah of zimun. When three people eat together, they bench birchas hamazon with zimun. But that's only if they ate a significant amount of food together. How much? Ad kazayis. It means the Tanakhama, which is Reb Meir, says a kazayis. Reb Yehuda imer ad kabeitza. Reb Yehuda says they're only chayev to do zimun if they ate a significant amount, namely a kabeitza. So it's exactly the opposite of what it said here. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefes Hashita. Rabbi Yochanan says that one of the two must have by mistake switched over the names. Rashi here doesn't tell us which ones were the mistake and which ones wasn't. So we're not going to go into that now. The Mefarshim discussed that. But one of them obviously made a mistake. Rashi says later on in Daf Nun Hey that this switching comes from a mistake. Abaya Omar, Abaya argued with Rabbi Yochanan and said, "Lo'ilam lo'i tepech." You don't need to switch them over. And just there's a fundamental difference with the way that we gauge the amount of food necessary for zimun and the way we gauge the amount of food necessary for chometz and the korban that went out of Yerushalayim. Hosam over there, in the case of zimun, b'kroi pligi, they're arguing pshat in a posuk. Hocha b'svara, but over here, how big the chometz has to be that you should have to go back and burn it, or how big the korban, the meat has to be that you should have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash to burn it. That's talking about just a svara pligi. They're arguing in logic. It's only midrabonon, min haTorah. You don't have to go back and burn it in the Beis HaMikdash. And min haTorah, you can do bittel in the case of chometz, nullify it in your heart. Midrabonon, they made you go back. So it was just a svara, a logic. And now the Gemara is going to explain. Hosam, in the case of brachos, b'kroi pligi, they were arguing pshat in the posuk. Reb Meir Sova, what does it say in the posuk? The posuk says, v'ochalto v'savato v'irachto. So Reb Meir says, v'ochalto zu achila, v'savato zu shtia. What does it mean, v'ochalto, you ate, v'savato, you were satisfied? Reb Meir says, v'ochalto is referring to solids, v'savato is referring to liquids. So eating solids is v'ochalto. What's always the minimum amount that a measure that we consider as called eating, v'achila b'kazayis, achila is always a kazayis. And that's why Reb Meir says over there regarding birchas hamazin, you've eaten a kazayis together, then you have to do zimun. Reb Yehuda Sovar, v'achalto v'savato, Reb Yehuda says that v'achalto and v'savato are both on achila. Achila sheyesh bo svia. It's not just eating which is a kazayis. It's got to be a type of eating which makes you satisfied. V'ezuzu, how much is that? B'kabeitza. That is the size of a kabeitza, and that's why the chiv of zimun is from only a kabeitza. However, that's all regarding the birchas hamazin. V'hocha v'hiya, in our Mishnah, b'svara pligi, they're arguing with logic. The Reb Meir sovar chazarosoi ketumosoi. Reb Meir says that having to go back is this, which is only midrabanon, is the same as the same type of measure as tumosoi. You have food items. How big does it have to be in order to become tomei, or to become tomei to make other things tomei? These are discussions we've had in the past. Ma tumosoi b'kabeitz. In the same way as hilchas tuma is restricted, that means anything less than a kabeitza doesn't have some of the halachas of tuma. Af chazarosi b'kabeitza, in order to have to go back to burn the chometz or to burn the korban, he says is only a kabeitza. Rabbi Yehuda Sova, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says no, chazarosi k'isuroi. The measure, the amount that you need to have to go back, is the amount that is osir. my isurei b'kazayis, in the same way as the issa of eating chametz is a kazayis, or the issa of eating a korban that went out of the Yerushalayim is a kazayis, the same way as the isser is a kazayis, af chazarosi b'kazayis, so too the measure of a kazayis is the measure you need to have to go back and burn the chametz or burn the korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, so in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah said at the end of the Mishnah, at kamahim chayzerim, we only had two opinions. We had three opinions, actually. We had Rabbi Meir, who says zeva zeba kabeitza. Rabbi Yehuda says zeva zeba kazayis. The Chachomim say bosa kodesh bekazayis, the chometz bekabeitza. And here we have a fourth opinion, Rabbi Nosson Omer, zeva zeka shnei beitzim. Both of them, you only have to go back if the measure, the amount that you of chometz you had in your home, or the amount of korban you're taken out of Yerushalayim, is two beitzim. The Chachomim did not agree with them. And since we mentioned going out of Yerushalayim, that was the section of the Mishnah that the Gemara hasn't discussed at length, but v'chein mi sheyotzam Yerushalayim, the Gemara is now going to digress a little bit to Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says as follows. So Pasuk in Zechariah, v'hoyo b'yoyim ahu, which is talking about l'osid lovoy, lo yiyeh oyer yekoris, there will no longer be a disappearing light, v'kipoin, or any of this thick darkness. That's the literal translation of the Pasuk. Asks the Gemara, my yekoris v'kipoin, what is this, what in Drush, how can we darshan, how do we understand this concept called yekoris and kipoin, which exists today and is not going to exist then? Or let's see how the Gemara learns it. The Gemara is actually going to say, lo yeh oyer yekoris, there's something which today is yekoris, which is then is not going to be a yekoris anymore, rather it's going to be kipoin. How do we understand that? Says the Gemara, Omer Beloza, ze oyer sheyokor ba'olam hazeh, there's a light which today is very valued, v'kofui lo'olam haba, but in olam haba it's going to become very trivial. The light of Olam Haba is going to be so bright that the light that we have in Olam Hazeh is going to be trivial relative to it. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Eilu Negoim v'Olois. This is referring to the sections in Torah and Halacha called Negoim and Olois, which is the Halachas of Tzoras is Negoim and Olois is the Halachas of Tumas Oyalim. Sheyikorin hein b'Olam Hazeh, they're very difficult to understand in today. But they are very easy to understand. They're much lighter to understand in Olam Haba. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, Eilu bnei Odom. This is referring to the people sheyakorin hein ba'olam hazeh, that today they are very esteemed. Ukfuyin hein la'olam haba. When it comes to Olam Haba, they're going to be very trivial. Ki hada Rav Yosef b'reid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, there was an incident with him. Cholash, he became weak, he became sick. This nagid, he went into a type of a comatose state, and his neshama left him. Kihodar, when he came back down, Omar Le Avua, his father said, his father being Rabbi Shua ben Levi, said to Rav Yosef, his son, Mai Chozis, you probably saw something when your neshama went up to the upper worlds. What did you see? Omar Le, he said, Olam Hafuch Ra'isi. I saw everything the opposite, upside down. Elyoinim Lamata, those who are esteemed here are not esteemed there. But Tachtainim Lamala, and the people who are low down here are high up over there. Omar Loi. So Bishua ben Levi said to his son Rav Yosef, Bni, Olam Bor Ra'isi, you saw a very clear world. And exactly the way you saw it, that's the way it is. There's nothing upside down there. You saw the truth, that people who are esteemed here are often not going to be esteemed there, and vice versa. Va'anan, so Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked Rav Yosef, v'as tamidei chachomim heicha hosam, where do we stand up there in those worlds? So Rav Yosef answered, ki heicha de isu anan hocha, hochi aisinon hosam, in the same place that we are down here, which we're esteemed, and we're tamidei chachomim, that it's the same up there, that we have a place of great esteem. And Rav Yosef says, besides for that, Shamati, I heard over there, when I went up to those worlds, I heard Shoyoimim, they would say, Ashri mi shebolakan, virtuous is the person. Praised is the person who comes here to those worlds after 120, with Talmudai biyodo, and he has his learning in his hands. But Shamati, Rav Yosef says, I heard something else. Shoyoimim, that Haruge Malchus, those who are killed by the governments, On a regular person cannot stand in their enclosure. They are on such a high madrega, nobody else can go anywhere near them. Who are these haruge malchus? Can it be Rabbi Akiva and his friends and his colleagues, which we know as the Asor Haruge Malchus? That can't be. They were such great people. Even without them having been Haruge Malchus, they have a very, very high place. Mishum Haruge Malchus v'suloi is the only reason that we cannot get close to their enclosure because they were Haruge Malchus and no other reason. There's plenty other reasons. If Haruge Malchus are singled out, it must be different Haruge Malchus, which are not Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov. And who are they? Elo Haruge Lud. This is Lulinus and Poppus, which were two brothers who were killed. That Turainus the Rosha in Ludgdia, he killed them, because there was once some princess that was killed, and the Goyim there said, some Jew must have killed her, which was what happened often back in the days. Some Yid must have killed, and it wasn't true, nobody killed her. She just died, or somebody else killed her. And these two brothers, Lulainus and Poppus, they came forward and said, we killed her. It wasn't true. But they came forward and said this, and they got killed, and they saved the people in Lud. And so these are called the Haruge Lud. And their madrega, their level, is so high in the world to come, nobody can get near them. Continues the Gemara. Another posuk in the same perek, Yudalad in Zechariah. Bayoimahu, that day, referring to that day, the Osid Lavoi, Yeh al Metziloyis Hasus, that the Metziloyis Hasus, we have to see what that means, but it probably, the literal translation is probably the bells on the horses, Kodesh Lashem, are going to be made Hekdesh. They're going to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdosh. Asks the Gemara, and the Pasuk there continues, V'hoyo Hasirois, that the pots are going to Beveis Hashem, the pots in the Beis HaMikdash are going to be Kamizrokim, like the bowls, Lifnei HaMizbeach, the bowls were made of gold and silver, and that day, La'asid Lavoi, even the pots that today are not made of gold and silver, are going to be made of gold and silver. There's going to be very plentiful, there's going to be a lot of abundance, and Hekdash are not going to be short of anything. The question is, what does it mean that day, the Metziloyis Hasus are going to be made Hekdesh? There's going to be so much abundance that it's going to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Gemara asks, "My Metziloyis Hasus? What are these Metziloyis Hasus?" Omer Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi says that the word Metziloyis actually comes from the word tzel, shade. That it means that Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehoisif al Yerushalayim, the boundaries, the borders of Yerushalayim are going to be extended ad shehasus rotz umeitzil. That as Meitzel is that there's a shadow. And how long is there a shadow? From when the day starts until midday, there's a shadow. Midday, there's no more shadow because the sun is above the heads of the animals of the people and there's no shade. So in the distance that it takes a horse to run until midday, that distance from today's borders of Yerushalayim, that distance is going to be added onto Yerushalayim. Acha sutzrot or Meitzel, as long as it takes a horse to run till the time of day that there's a shade, till chatzos. That was Rabbi Shua ben Levi's explanation, that when the Pasuk is saying, Bayomahu yeh metziloyis hasus, Kodesh Lashem means Yerushalayim, which is holy, is going to be extended to this amount. And the Gemara is soon going to ask, what's that got to do with the next words in the Pasuk, V'hoyo asirois beis Hashem, kamizrokim lifnei HaMizbeach, that the pots are going to be gold and silver? We're going to have to understand that. But that was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's understanding in the words that Metziloyis Hasus, Kodesh Lashem. Rabbi Lozo Omar, what does it mean? Kol Metziloyis, all the bells, Shetoilin Nesus, Bein Einov, that they hang between the eyes of the horses, Yeh Kodesh Lashem are going to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdosh. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, and according to Rabbi Lozo, it means that it's a certain gold or something of value, not very major value, it's just the bells, but those bells are going to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdosh. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan says even more, Kol Bizar Sheboizes in Yisrael, Ad Shah Shasutz Rotzumetzel. We said before that the hour of the day, that until when a running horse has a shadow, is from the beginning of the day until Chatzos. Rabbi Yochanan says, all the plunder that Klal Yisrael are going to plunder when the Geula comes, from the beginning of the day until Chatzos, Ad Shor, until the hour, which is Chatzos, Shasut Zrot, Zumetzil, that all the while that when the horse is running, there's still a shadow, Yia Kodesh Lashem, all that plunder is going to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdosh. So those are the three explanations. What does it mean in the Pasuk in Zechariah that Bayomahu Yia Al Metzilos Hasus, Kodesh Lashem? So the Gemara is now asking, Bishlei Meleman Omar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who explains, Kol Bizar Shebozu Yisrael, that the words Metzilo Yisasus is talking about all the plunder of Klal Yisrael, Hainu Dechsiv. I can understand the next words in the Pasuk, V'hoyo Asiro Yis Beveis Hashem, K'mizrokim Lifnei HaMizbeach, that the pots that today are not gold and silver are going to be like the bowls that are gold and silver. Elo Leman Da'om, according to the other two opinions, B'hanoch Tarati. Those two opinions, either Rabbi Shua ben Levi that says that there's an extension to Yerushalayim, or Rabbi Loza who says that the bells are going to be dedicated. My, what's the mean? V'hoyo asira is beveis Hashem. K'mizrokim lifnei hamizbeach. What's the continuation? What's the status of the pots in the Beis HaMikdosh? It got to do with the Metzilos Hasus. Says the Gemara, you're right, it's something else, it's not a continuation. One thing is that Metzilos Hasus Kodesh Lashem is that either the bells are going to be dedicated or Yerushalayim is going to be extended. And besides for that, Milsach Ritikoma, an added thing is said, the Misasri Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael are going to become very wealthy, or Misnadvi, and they're going to donate, or Maisi, and bring to the Mizbeach, bring to the Beis HaMikdosh, pots that are made of gold and silver. And that's what it means. The pasuk v'hoyah asira is beveis Hashem k'mizroka is lifnei hamizbeach. Says the Gemara, bishleima leman da'omar. According to the opinion that says bizar, that it was plunder, that the pasuk is referring to, that the Metzilos Hasus is talking about, there was a tremendous amount of abundance from the plunder that was given to the Beis HaMikdosh. Hainu dechsiv, that's what it says in the pasuk. In the next pasuk in Zechariah Yud Dalet, the pasuk says, "V'hoyo kol siru b'Yerushalayim u'b'Yehuda kodesh l'Hashem tzvokis u'vohu kol azevchim v'lo'ku mehem u'vishlu v'hem v'lo yeh k'nani oy." There's not going to be any more a k'nani, a merchant, b'veis Hashem tzvokis b'yimahu. There's going to be so much abundance, we won't need the merchants there anymore to make tradings and dealings with the property of Hekdash. It won't be necessary anymore. There's going to be a tremendous abundance. So if you learn according to Rabbi Yochanan that when the Pasuk says that the Metzilos Hasus is talking about that they're going to donate the plunder, I can understand why it says V'lo yeh k'nani oid b'veis Hashem tzvokis, that there's not going to be anymore any merchants in the Beis HaMikdosh. Elo leman da'om mahanoch tarti, but according to the other two opinions, who say that either just the bells were dedicated and donated to the Beis HaMikdosh, or that Yerushalayim was extended, but there's no source that tremendous amount of plunder and loot and money was donated to the Beis HaMikdosh, mai v'lo yeh k'nani? Why should that influence the amount of merchants that were needed in the Beis HaMikdosh? Omer Birmia, or Birmia said, Birmia answered, ein kan oni. That what the next pasuk is coming to impress on us is another thing, that besides for everything we've learned, when Mashiach comes, or La'osid Lovi, whenever that is, there's not going to be any more poor people. And since there's not going to be any poverty anymore, that's what the pasuk says, that we're not going to need the merchants anymore to trade in the Beis HaMikdosh. Asks the Gemara, K'nani minolon de ikri tagor. We just kept translating the words v'lo yeh k'nani, meaning a merchant. What's the source that the word k'nani actually means a merchant? We know that K'nan is the name of a place, and maybe k'nani are people that come from the place of K'nan. Says the Gemara, no. Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk says, v'yar shom Yehuda, the Yehuda, one of the Shvatim, one of the children of Yaakov Avinu in Parashas Vayeshev, he saw Bas Ish Kenani, the daughter of a Ish Kenani, a man of Kenani, and Ushmo Yeshua, and his name was Shua Vikachel, and he took her, Vayavoyaleo, and he married her. Asks the Gemara, my Kenani, when Yehuda took the daughter of Kenani, what does that mean? Ileim a Kenani, mamash, does it mean a Kenanite, somebody who lives from the place of Canaan? It can't be. Is it possible that Avram told Eliezer, when it came to finding a shidduch for Yitzchak, lo yisikach ish olivni b'bnois Kenani, don't marry somebody from Canaan. Bo Yitzchak v'hizeres Yaakov, and Yitzchak told Yaakov, lo yisikach ish olivni b'bnois Kenan, don't marry a girl from Canaan. But Yehuda, and Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, Ozil v'nosiv, is going to go and marry somebody from Canaan? It can't be. Elo omre b'shimon b'nokish, bas gavro tigra. That this bas Kenanis, this bas Kenani, the bas ish Kenani, is the daughter of a merchant. Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk. Where else we find such a concept? Kenan biyodoy moiznei mirma. Kenan is referring, says the pasuk in Hosea, referring to a merchant who, in his hands, moiznei mirma are the scales of deceit. La ashik ohiv. V'iboy seima mehacha. Or there's another pasuk that says. The pasuk says, "Miyatz zois al tzoyer hamatira asher soichareho," whose traders, sorim, are princes, kenoneo, its merchants, nichbede oretz, are the elite of the land. So you see that the word Canaan is used as a name for merchants. Continues the Gemara, and this is again talking about laosid lavoi. Again, another pasuk in Zechariah Perek Yudalad, V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol oretz, Hashem is going to be the king on the whole world. B'yoymahu, that day, Yiyeh Hashem echod, Hashem will be one, Ushmoy echod, and his name will be one. Asks the Gemara, Otu, Ho'idna lav echotu? Are you telling me that today, which is not B'yoymahu, that day, today, Hashem is not one? Chas v'shalom to even suggest such a thing. What does it mean that B'yoymahu, Yiyeh Hashem echod, Hashem is going to be one? Omer Rav Acha bar Chanina explains as follows. There's a fundamental difference between today, Oilam Hazeh, the world, this world, and the world to come. Ha'olam Hazeh, in this world, al basura is toiva, is for good news, we make a bracha, Omer, we say, Baruch ha'toiv ha'metiv, blessed is Hashem, who is good and who does good. Well, Basura Yisrois, on sad news, on bad news, Oymeri makes a bracha, Baruch Dayan Ho'emes, Hashem, who is the righteous and the honest judge. However, La'olam Haba, Kulei HaToiv HaMeitiv, there's a certain type of oneness that's going to be expressed and revealed that day, La'osid Lavoi, and that is that there's going to be a oneness in the way that we perceive Hashem's ways, that everything about Hashem is going to be perceived as HaToiv HaMeitiv. So it's not that Hashem is not one, Chas V'Shalom, but when we perceive Hashem's ways today, we don't always see them as being united, as being the same. Sometimes we see Dayan or Emes, sometimes we see HaToiv HaMeitiv. But when La'asid Lavoi, it's going to become clear to us that there was never ever a contradiction between the Dayan or Emes and the Toiv HaMeitiv, and everything is good and for the good. It's worth seeing the Tzlach here, who says that in that day, La'asid Lavoi, we're not only going to appreciate that everything is good, we're going to appreciate that everything bad that happened to us, all the generations, all those things that we said, Baruch Dayan or Emes for, we're actually going to say the Bracha of HaToiv HaMeitiv on. Asks the Gemara, Shmoy Echad. It says that La'asid Lavoi, not only is Hashem Echad, but also Shmoy Echad, his name is one. My Echad, what does it mean his name is one? What is this about Hashem's name that's not one today, it's going to be one then? Oto Idna Lav Shmoy Echadu, today his name is not one. Omer of Nachum Bayitzok, Nachum Bayitzok explains, Loiko Eilam Hazeh Eilam Haba, regarding Hashem's name, there's a fundamental difference between today, this world, and the next world. Ha'olam Hazeh, in this world, there is some distinction between two of Hashem's names. Or more accurately, one of Hashem's names, there's a distinction between the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. That Nichtav B'Yud-Kei, we all know, how do you write Hashem's name? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But you ever heard somebody who reads it like that? Chas V'Shalom, you're not allowed to. How do we read it? We read it Adoy, Adnus. That means it's written one way, and we read it a different way. Nichtav b'yudkei, v'nikra, but it's read b'alef dalet, that's Adnos, Hashem's name, the way we read Hashem's name. Avlo ilam abo, b'l'osid lovoi, kuloi echod. It's nikra b'yudkei, v'nichtav b'yudkei. Not only is it written with yudkei, it's also going to be read with yudkei. Only l'osid lovoi, that's going to become permitted. Sova Rava leMidrasha bePirka. Rava wanted to explain the meanings of Hashem's names bePirka in his drasha to the public. Amaleahu Saba, and this elder came to Rava and said, LaOlam. The pasuk says in Shmois, Ze Shmi LaOlam. This is my name forever. Ze Zichri, and this is my mention. This is the way I'm referred, l'doir doir, for generations. But the word la'olam is not spelt with a vav, it's spelt without a vav, which can be read la'olam, meaning that it's hidden, it's got to be concealed. So this elder told Rava, zeh shmi, when it comes to my name, says Hashem, la'olam. It should be concealed. It's not something that should be publicly discussed. Rabbi Avinah actually asked a seeming contradiction. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, zeh shmi la'olam, v'zeh zichri l'doir v'doir. That it says Zeh Shmi La'olam, but without the Vav, to tell us that my name is concealed. And then it says Zeh Zichri L'Doir Doir, that I am, this is the way I am mentioned and referred to in all the generations. If Hashem is mentioned and referred to, then he must have a name, so to speak. Then his name is not concealed. It can't be also a mention and also concealed. So Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the answer is that Hashem said, Loikesh ani nichtov ani nikra. Not in the same way as my name is written, my name is pronounced. Nichtov, it's read, it's written, nichtov ani, my name is written, beyutke. But that is ne'lam. You don't pronounce it. It's my name, la'olam. It's got to be concealed. And even today, you might see yutke vavke written in a chumash, you're not allowed to say it out that way. V'nikra ani, what's the zichri? How am I mentioned? How am I referred to? Ba'alef talad. Today we call Hashem with Adnus, and that is how we refer to Hashem. Hadron aloch, eilu oivrin, b'siyata d'shmai, we finished perek eilu oivrin, emir tashem, we're going to do chazor on perek eilu oivrin, and in the next year we're going to start perek mokim shenoagu.